All right, good evening, everybody. Mayor Moses is not in tonight, obviously, so I'm going to run the city council meeting tonight and like to call to order November 23rd at 7 p.m. First order on the agenda is the roll call. Mr. Stahl.
Alderman Jennings.
Present.
Alderman McCown.
Present.
Alderman Schnell.
Present.
Mayor Moses. Mayor Pro Tem Adams.
Present.
Alderman Wheeler.
Present.
We have a quorum.
All right, item 2.0, Pledge of Allegiance, everyone.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor
under the Texas flag, I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
All right, item 3.0 is special presentations. There are none. Item 4.0 is approval of minutes to the regular council meeting of November 9th, 2015. If council's had a chance to look those over, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion.
Mike Wheeler, is there a second?
I second.
Nancy Schnell. Any comments, questions? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, minutes approved. 5.0, council reports and requests. There are none. And moving on to 6.0, public hearings, public comments. This is the opportunity for the public to address council. Comment on items which appear on the agenda. Time is limited to 5 minutes per speaker. Comments are to be directed to the city council, and dialogue with the audience is not permitted. Council members are prohibited by law from participating in discussion or deliberation of items not specifically identified on this agenda. So why don't we start way down there, back row, and then we'll go this way. If anybody wants to come up, please state your name and address. Back row. Okay. You're first.
Good evening. I'm Billy Bowles. I live at 443 Baywood, and I've lived here for 35 years. And I wanted to take this opportunity to express my appreciation for our city manager. I don't feel like that our city has fared as well as it did in the aftermath of Ike, and I want the council to understand that I think he's done a great job, and I stand with him, and I appreciate each and every one of your efforts, and because everybody has a volunteer heart, and I appreciate your time and effort that's put forth for the benefit of the city. But I would like to make one comment about this proposed homestead exemption. I'm well over the age of 65, and I just received my tax bill, and it's for $639. I think it's very affordable, and I would have concerns about any lost revenue that there might be with these homestead exemptions. And my other concern would be, where would we make up the difference without having to go into our reserves? So if y'all would take that under consideration, I would appreciate it.
All right, thank you, ma'am. I think the rest.
Well, I was going to say the same as
if you want to get up for the record, you might as well. Name and address, please.
Jim Stout, 422 Baywood. I second what the young lady said here, seeing she's only 65 or so.
All right, thank you.
Well, over 65.
Good evening, honorable members. I'm Steve Koykalt. I live in Pasadena, Texas, 4315 Maidenhead Drive, 77504, zip code. For the past 11 years, I'm the Silverhead legislator that represents seniors 60 and over in Austin. And we, a group of 100 men and women, you have to be 60 to be one, and we go to Austin at our own expense to try to improve the lives of senior citizens in the great state of Texas. And I'm interested in one of the items on your agenda, 8.2 and 8.3. And I'd be interested to listen to y'all, and if you have any questions of me, I've been doing a long time, so you can have at me if you like. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead. Come on up. Name and address, please.
Mike Masayegos, 615 Meadow Lawn is the address for the house that I own here in Shore Acres. Moved here in 1976, 8 years old. Great place to live. I loved it. Got away from here as far as I could, moved back as quick as I could when I got as far away from here as I could. Obviously, I've been doing a lot of work, you know, getting my house ready. I commend everybody here. Police department, I'm a fishing guide. I go pick up my boat sometimes at 4 in the morning, and for the new guys that stop me, I appreciate it because they're like, hey, who are you? But I appreciate that. I can honestly say I haven't had anything walk off, and I've left equipment out because we're doing some work and things like that at the house, so I feel very safe here. But I do want to say I've lived here for a long time, and it's safe to say I do have a fair assumption, and I just want to thank you very much for everything you've done for us at Stall, and I appreciate everything. You know, when this hurricane hit, I was in a situation where my parents, very elderly, they didn't know what was going on, but, you know, 4 streets away coming over here, I could get anything I needed right here at the City Hall. We had ice here, we had water, we had cleanup kits. Salvation Army did a phenomenal job. You know, we had Mattress Mac out here cooking for us one day. I mean, like I said, there's a lot of things that you've done, and the whole city's done. I mean, it's a trickle effect. To take something away, I don't agree with that. So just put that down. And I apologize. I hate to have to run, but my daughter's headed back to San Antonio. She goes to college there, and I just want to go say goodbye to her. So thank y'all for y'all's time, but that's how I feel about that. And, you know, paradise comes with a price, and, you know, we may complain about our taxes, but seriously, I'll sit back and think about what we have at the end of the day, what we get to have in this community. Thank you for y'all's time.
Thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Rock roll down. Anybody on the stand want to come speak? Ma'am? No? No. Sir? No? All right. Moving right along. Item is 7.0, 7.1, City Administrator David Stahl.
Good evening. The last council meeting, I mentioned that during one of the last big storm that we had, that the water tower at Water Plant 2 was apparently struck by lightning and damaged our supervisory control and data acquisition equipment, otherwise known as SCADA. Our contractor that installed that is not going to be available within a reasonable time to get that back up and running, which we thought was going to happen. Now we're working with an organization called Johnson Technical Services. We have identified that our Ethernet switch has been damaged, our wireless Ethernet bridge, which is a radio piece of equipment, was damaged, and the wiring between them was damaged, which is all evidence of lightning strike when you have something that that causes the wiring to fail as well, that cabling. So we're working with them. Of course, the timing now is really, really bad with the holidays, but we hope to get them out here, and as soon as they get the radio equipment and Ethernet back in service, then our SCADA people will be able to finish up the work. Now, one of the good things that's coming out of that, a silver lining and a bad deal, is that they also have the expertise and the ability to finally integrate our video entrance sign into the wide area network RF system, so that we'll be able to control that sign and go back to updating it regularly here from City Hall. It's been a long time since we've had that ability, so that's positive. On the street repair, last meeting there was a question about that, and we did not receive our third quote. It is below the dollar amount, well below the dollar amount that requires us to go out for bids, but we do insist on having three quotes for anything that's over $1,000. We got the third quote. Because of the rain, the contractors are a little backed up, but they'll be out here next Monday, a week from today, and they'll start that concrete repair, and you don't know where that's at. I'm glad for you, but if you live on South Country Club, you've got some holes in the street where we did some repairs and where some new home construction occurred, and so there's a portion of that concrete street that needs to be repaired. And for all of you that drive through and drop utility bills, you might be happy to know that the grass that's over here that everybody's wheel runs off into is also going to go away. While we got here doing concrete work, we're going to go ahead and fill that hole so that it's a little easier to get through City Hall. And that's all I have under the administrative reports. If you're ready, I'll move on to
monthly financial
report. Monthly financial report. this is probably the least valuable monthly financial report of the year because it's the first year, or it'll be the first month of the fiscal year. Our fiscal year starts in October, and we are on an accrual basis and not a cash basis on accounting. So it takes a while for the expenses that are reflected in the monthly report to catch up when you look at the line item by line item. That said, I'm going to skip over that and move right to the checking account balances. The general fund balance at the end of October is $55,000, $35.15. The utility fund is $90,058.75, and we are holding $55,891.40 in service deposits. It's important to recognize that the general fund and the utility fund have different revenue streams, which is always problematic for the general fund in the first quarter. The general fund's about 80% of all the funding comes from property taxes, since we don't have a large sales tax base. That means that we're really dependent on folks or their mortgage company paying their property taxes. Until then, we don't have any revenue coming in the general fund. And you can see in the month of October, our general fund checking account balance went down by $68,511.31. Utility fund, however, has a very dependable monthly cash flow in that we send out utility bills every month, and largely they get paid every month. And you see the utility fund at the same time gained $7,000 in revenue. If we look at our CDBG grant fund, we still have the $1,000 that we started that fund with, and that will stay there until we close out all the paperwork. We've now finished all the grant projects, and as soon as we close out all of the paperwork, then that $1,000 will come back to the general fund where it started from. In the text pool, we got about $56.16 of interest in October, which makes our text pool, which is our investment pool, balance $684,126.35. The next page that you have there is our certificate deposit, of which we have four. It's got a maturity value of $255,852. And I would note, while it's a little early, but in April, two of those will mature. That we have the laddered investment plan on that page, you can see. One of those we will renew for a 39-month term, and the other we will renew for a 51-month term. That will bring us to where we have all of the CDs on a 48-month term, which will have one coming mature every year instead of having two come mature at a time as we have in the past. That ladders that out. These certificates of deposit are no penalty CDs. So if we need that money and we were to cash one, we would be paid the interest through the date that we cash it, and there would be no penalty for having done that. When you purchase them, they do knock a couple of basis points off of the interest you earn so that you can cash those without penalty. So even though there are maturity dates and they'll be coming up one every year, there's no penalty to us if we were to need that money for something. The next page would be our property tax collection, and this demonstrates what I talked about earlier. You can see that we have collected $0 in 2014 tax money in October. We did collect $1,005.23 in delinquent taxes. So our entire property tax revenue that we received in October is $1,251.15. The last page of the financial report is our sales tax, and we received $6,957.63 in general sales tax and $1,739.41 in street or road maintenance sales tax. That is 4% above what we did in the same month last year. So that's a positive, and that's the financial report.
All right, any questions or comments from the council on any of those reports? Okay, moving right along, 8.0 business, 8.1 consideration and approval of invoices. Anybody's had the opportunity to look over the invoices, I'll entertain a motion.
I make a motion.
Smile to Ms. Snell, you're a second.
Second.
Alderman McCowen. Any questions, comments? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Invoices will be paid. Moving on to 8.2, discussion action to adopt ordinance number 2015-191, granting a 20% residence homestead exemption effective for the 2016 tax year and each subsequent tax year. Alderman Jennings.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. The reason I proposed a general homestead exemption, Shore Acres doesn't have one, obviously, but I think people are confused about what it does, and so I want to first educate a little bit here. You know, if you had gone with us through the entire budget process, you would know a little bit more of what I'm talking about, perhaps, than if you hadn't. But basically what I'm trying to do here, and other cities, of course, have homestead exemptions of 20% report required all around us. And people come to me all the time and they say, well, why don't we have one? Why don't we have one? Well, we just traditionally haven't had one because we're a bedroom community and no one's wanted to make that difference, that call. But what a homestead exemption does, it doesn't cut services at all. Homestead exemption doesn't cut services. That's not the purpose of the homestead exemption. The purpose of the homestead exemption is to try to shift a little bit of the burden to the business community and take a little bit of burden off of the homeowners. And in this case, I provided worksheets. I have a couple more here for late if you came in late. But you can see right now homeowners are paying about of ad valorem taxes only. Of course, that's all we're talking about here, property taxes. That's all we're talking about here. And so you can see right now, homeowners have about 77% of the burden. And businesses, which in our case, of course, that means the Houston Yacht Club, and it also means vacant lots and rental homes, you know, residential non-homestead. And they pay 23% of that total, as you see here. And we're looking at it, you know, if I use our current tax rate because, you know, that's appropriate. This has nothing. When we make this exemption, it's for next year. And so we don't know what the actual number is going to be at that time. I'm going to show you what the effective tax rate will be if we choose to adopt this. But what I'm trying to do is just shift some of that burden. And if we were to add a 20% homestead exemption, at the current tax rate, we would shift 4%. We would be paying as homeowners, we'd be paying 73% of the total ad valorem taxes, and businesses would be paying 27%. So it's a small shift, but for a homeowner, it shows that you're investing your life here. And again, it has nothing to do with cutting city services or cutting people or cutting anything. It's just a shift in who's responsible for paying for the city. And that's all I'm trying to do with this. And if you go on down to the actual change in revenue, and that's what everybody focuses on, yes, if taking our current tax rate with 20%, we have 412 homesteads in Shore Acres. If we take that, then yeah, you just look at that number. It says, okay, we're reducing city revenue by $111,000. But that's not the way it works. What's going to happen is when the tax rolls come out next year and we receive the calculations from the appraisal district and we get the effective tax rate, then that will be adjusted. And so the effective, if, for instance, it would move the effective tax rate to 90 cents. That's what this would do. So either you wouldn't pay any more or less in taxes if your house stayed the same. If all things stayed the same, you as a homeowner would pay, if the next council, not this council, this has nothing to do with this year, if the next council were to adopt the effective tax rate and nothing at all changed on your appraisal or anything like that, then you would take a $73 credit per year. That's what you'd get, about $6 a month. That's that 4% shift that I talked about. Now, if the next council wants to cut, you know, that's not anything to do with it. If they wanted to take this as face value and skip over the effective tax rate, then you would get a tax break of about $270. So, or a little bit over $20 a month. So that's what this does. So it's not about cutting services. It's not. It's showing that if you invest not only your money, but if you invest your life in Shore Acres, that, okay, we'll recognize that just a little bit and make you know, the people that aren't putting that investment into the community part of it, not just their dollars, but to the community, we're going to charge them a little bit more, you know, 4% on the aggregate, and we're going to charge the people that are putting their life and put roots down here and building the community, we're going to charge them a little bit less. And that's all this does. So with that said, I make a motion that we adopt ordinance number 2015-191.
I make a motion to table this till May of 2016.
One second.
Okay, Mr. Stahl, what's the protocol?
Well, you didn't have a second. You, on the original motion, you have a motion to table. It's not debatable. You have a second. You call for a vote.
I second the original motion.
Okay, so now we have a motion and a second on the first.
We just have a motion to table to deal with.
Okay, so Alderman McCallum had a motion to table. Alderman Wheeler second. And so do we need to vote on the first?
You vote on the table first, just like it's an amendment to the original motion.
All right, so we have a motion on the floor to table this agenda item till May of 2016?
Yes.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
Nay.
Nay.
Okay, the ayes have it. So this item is tabled till May of 2016, correct?
Right.
Moving on to agenda item 8.3, discussion action to adopt ordinance number 2015, tax 192, establishing elderly homestead property tax exemption relating to ad valorem tax freeze for residential homestead property owners who are disabled or 65 years of age or older. Alderman Jenny?
Much along the same lines of the last ordinance. Basically, I'm trying to equalize the homeowners exemptions in the neighboring areas. And they're over 65. The ours is currently $40,000, and the area is currently $60,000. And so that extra $20,000, if you look at the sheet with the over 65 exemption, it'll save the average over 65 exemption homeowner $162 a year. And that will cost us, in tax rate terms, it's about a penny and a half. And there's 125 people currently claiming that exemption, and the total value is $21 million. And but anyway, that's the thing. Again, this is not designed to cut services. It's just designed to address the inequities that are in the differences between the local cities and Short Acres in the over 65 exemption. They're also voting on, or maybe voting on, who knows, the worksheet to increase in the disabled exemption. Right now, the disabled people that live in Short Acres get a $7,500 exemption. And in the area, the exemptions range from 40 to 60, but mostly 60 in the general area around us. So moving that to $60,000. There's 11 people in the city that take advantage of the current disabled exemption, and so moving that to $60,000 will really increase that to about $5,000 a year and save each of those homeowners, those disabled homeowners, about $400 a year. And so that's again what I'm trying to do. So I make a motion to approve ordinance number
2015-192. I second.
Okay. A motion on the floor to adopt ordinance number 2015, tax 192. At this point, we can open up the discussion, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Alderman Jennings, you've had your time. Alderman McCown, do you have any comments on that?
In regards to this particular ordinance, the only thing that I would be for would be for the disabled 65 years of age or older only.
I also strongly in favor of helping out the folks that are disabled within the city. Also, you know, do believe that people over 65, I mean, my parents are over 65, and they're fortunate and blessed. But there are a lot of people in the city that, you know, maybe didn't plan as well, or circumstances. The flood didn't help anybody, but it's just, I mean, some of the people didn't have insurance. for example, and that's been a struggle for a lot of folks. We finally, I think, finally the last FEMA trailer out just a couple of years ago. So I would definitely be in favor of helping out our senior citizens and community members that are disabled.
Alderman Wheeler.
One thing I struggle with on each of these, and Alderman Jennings did mention this, is in every other city that has these exemptions, what they do is they shift the tax burden to commercial businesses, which is great. Man, I'm going to be right there before that, you know, before long. Would love to see that. The unfortunate thing about Shore Acres is we do not have any commercial property tax that we can slough this off on. What you're essentially saying is we're going to shift that tax burden to other residents of Shore Acres. Most of the vacant property that's here is owned by residents of Shore Acres, so you're basically going to take the whatever tax revenue loss and you're going to shift it over to existing property owners. I really don't see that as an equitable solution to this problem. So while I, you know, am all about, you know, helping, you know, the people over 65 and the disabled and all that stuff, what I don't see here in the original ordinance 191 that was tabled, you showed a loss of revenue, but I don't see that in this worksheet for the over 65 or disabled.
Mayor, put some back to address Alderman Wheeler.
Go ahead.
I guess it is on there, Alderman Wheeler.
Could you point it out to me?
The over 65 is $20,199, and the disabled is $4,421.
Once again, we don't see any proposal to make up that loss in revenue other than shift it to other homeowners in Shore Acres. So I have a problem with that.
All right. Since I can vote, I'll go ahead and make a few comments. I think, first of all, the ordinance should separate the tax exemption from the tax freeze. The tax freeze is a permanent situation. The exemption has flexibility. The freeze does not. I am a little worried about our city current fiscal responsibility. We're going to need a new water tower pretty soon. We just had a sewer pipe break on Friday. Utility fund continues to require the reserves to balance, so we've got some issues to deal with. I'm just nervous right now, but I don't see why we couldn't revisit this in the future. But in my opinion, until we are on solid ground, I'm not ready to go for it. So we have a motion on the floor, and we have a second. Now we're ready to vote on this ordinance. So all in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye. No.
Okay. It's 3-2. Did not pass. Moving on to 8.4, discussion and action to adopt ordinance 2015 TAC 193, amending City Code Section 2 TAC 101 to prohibit employee contracts with automatic renewal and to terminate existing contracts with an automatic renewal clause, converting impacted employees to at will status. Alderman Snow.
Thank you. Seems to be some confusion about what this proposed ordinance actually does. This doesn't fire anybody. It doesn't terminate anyone's employment. This is simply any employee now or in the future, part-time, full-time, that has an evergreen clause, the automatic renewing contract that annually renews. By passage of this ordinance, it says that we're going to stop doing that, and anyone that's in that has an evergreen clause in it right now, that would stop the day before the contract is set to automatically renew. Doesn't have anything to do with firing anyone, terminating anyone's employment. This would be effective to the ladies that come in to clean the offices here, the people that, you know, come and mow your ditches, public works, everyone across the board, from the very top to the very bottom. And it would preclude council from being able to enter into these agreements in the future. Mr. Stahl did seek our city attorney's advice, and the city attorney did respond and carbon copy all of council. Very flat out said, this does not terminate your employment, anyone's employment. No one is being terminated. This just says we're not going to automatically renew a contract anymore. I think that it is a fiscal irresponsible practice to have an automatic renewal of a contract. Things seem to creep up on people. You know, we could have a disaster and council may just go scatterbrained to not address something in the appropriate time. All this simply does is say you don't get to get an automatic renewal every year. Doesn't fire anybody, period. And at that point, let's say that somebody's contract is set to automatically renew January 1st. December 31st, if this is passed, it says it's not automatically renewing your contract. You would then just become an at-will employee, like most of us in the great state of Texas, since we're an at-will employee state. And that's all this does. It is not going to fire anyone. It's not going to cut anybody's job responsibilities. It has nothing to do with anything like that. It is simply saying this city is not going to enter into automatically renewing contracts. And any that are in existence now would stop the day before they're set to automatically renew. It's that simple. And like I said, the city attorney was contacted, and he answered three very specific questions. You know, they were asked three different ways. And the bottom line was, this is not firing anyone. It's not terminating anyone's employment with the city. It is simply saying, we're not automatically renewing your contract anymore. And we're not going to enter into automatically renewing contracts in the future. And that's for any employee, full-time, part-time, everybody. And that being said, I'd like to make a motion to pass Ordinance 2015-193.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Let's have discussion. Alderman Jennings?
Like Alderman Snell said, this isn't about firing anyone. This is about good public policy. And so, yeah, I would agree with, I mean, those contracts that council should be voting on contracts like that. And so it's automatically renewing. It just makes no sense to me. So, yeah, I will support.
Alderman McCallum?
How many evergreen contracts do we have?
One.
And who is that?
Me.
Well, on the night that I was elected, I think it's time to clear the air a little bit with this possible passing of the city ordinance, because on the night of the election back in May, I was fortunate enough to get a phone call from Mrs. Snell, who stated congratulations, which I thought was very kind of her. And then in the next couple of statements, she made the comment that I needed to meet with her and Mr. Jennings before, I don't know if Mr. Jennings is aware of this, probably not, before we were sworn in so we could get our strategy together so we could clean up City Hall.
That is not true. That is not how I put it.
So I'm not for this in any form, way, or fashion, period.
Okay, thank you. Alderman Wheeler?
Where to start? First of all, I think this is one of the most self-serving proposals that's ever been brought to council's seat, but this contract has been in effect for 11 years?
No, I got the contract midway through, so it's been
8 years.
No, not 5 years, something like that.
There was specific reasons that this contract was written the way it was written. First and foremost was the need for stability in the running of the city. With elections every year, new faces hit council seat. Each person has their own opinions of whatever. In the meantime, the city administrator is here on the job daily. There are stipulations in that contract can be opened up at a specific time, which has never taken place. But the second reason for this is many of the initiatives that the city administrator is involved in concern state and federal organizations that many times take several years to develop. Now, If that person, in this case Mr. Stahl, doesn't have some type of guarantees of his job status, then a lot of times those initiatives may never even be followed up on or sought after. Good examples of that is our flood insurance discounts that we now have. The other thing, the Miramar reconstruction project. This has been ongoing for the last 5-6 years. Without David Stahl at the helm, I don't think anything would be done about that. The third reason behind this, and I think we experienced this with our pursuit of hiring a new police chief. David, do you remember how many applicants walked away from that job whenever they found out that this was an at-will position and no contract?
Virtually every one of the finalists inquired about the contract.
Yeah. The same could be said for this position. No one that is worth their salt will walk into this position knowing that he's going to be, his contract's going to be opened up every year, and there's the possibility that at the whim of one or two or three council people that his job will be terminated. This proposal is not in the city's best interest, while some may think it is, but it only serves to jeopardize the city's ability to grow and continue along the path that David has set forth. David has brought in over $11 million to this city in improvements. We can't afford to not have that at our backs. Therefore, I am against this in its entirety.
Mayor Pro Tem, I'd like to address that, as Mr. Wheeler stated. Mr. Stahl's contract, as it's written now, I believe it was the 2012 City Council, so therefore from 2004 to 2012, we did not have an automatic renewing contract. So that was during the whole Ike stuff and everything, and he's still here. So I just wanted to clarify that. And that's all I have to say.
Okay. My only comment is typically city employment contracts attract more quality applicants, in my opinion, and it's been proven, wanting job security. And most of the administrative positions do look for contracts when they seek employment. So with that, is there any more discussion from council on this item?
Can I make some remarks?
Mr. Stahl?
Since this ordinance substantively only impacts me, I'd like to make a couple remarks. those of you that aren't aware, came to work for this city in February of 2005. I'm the city's first city administrator ever. To that point, the city did not have a city administrator. I met with the then mayor, Mayor Pro Tem, in that process, and was extended an offer of employment. I was told up front that they, a couple things, but they couldn't pay what I had in my salary history. And I expressed that that was not an issue for me, that my interest was in being in this area for grandchildren, and that we negotiated a 4-day work week in lieu of that salary. Also, that being that it was the first administrator, they weren't sure how it was going to work out for the city, and so they were uncomfortable with the contract. And I'll tell you that virtually every city administrator and city manager in the state of Texas has a contract, an employment contract, that provides not only protection but benefits. And I agreed to take the position with no contract. I did that in 2005. In 2012, I was approached by Mayor Ahrens with an offer of a contract because they wanted to keep me here. And that's typically why you do a contract on the city side, is to induce someone for employment or to keep them. And so we negotiated a contract with council and I and got that. It has been said that the contract goes away, but the employment doesn't, and I think you all understand what goes away with the contract. One thing that goes away is an incentive for me that the contract provides. I always serve at the pleasure of council. Under the contract, council can terminate my employment at any time. It does provide a severance, and the severance will go away. The severance is the protection for the capricious actions of a council. And, you know, you get new council people, it's like owners of a football team. The head coach goes when the new owners come in a lot of times, whether it's fault or not. And there's no problem with that. Council can fire me anytime they want under the agreement. And there's a severance benefit, which allows me to go down the road and do something else. That goes away with the contract. Also, there are benefits in the contract, like a car allowance. I do get a whopping $50 a month car allowance, and that will go away. They pay my memberships in some of the state and national organizations that I represent the city in, or professional organizations. Those memberships are paid. That will also go away with the contract, unless the council takes another action. There's also salary protection, and the contract says that that they can cut my salary along with an across-the-board reduction in salary of the other employees. In the last budget cycle, there was discussion about the impediment that my contract presented, and that a particular council person felt I was overpaid and wanted to take that away. When this goes away, if this is passed, this goes away in February, that protection also goes away. So all of those things are tied in there. It's not as simple as it sounds. And it does have an impact, and it certainly will have an impact on hiring future people to fill the position when the time comes that I am gone. So I just wanted to add that to the mix.
Any final comments from council before we vote?
I just have a question for Mr. Saul. You stated that most or the majority of city either administrators or managers do have contracts.
Yes.
To your knowledge, let's say just in cities our size, do the majority of them have the evergreen clauses?
Yes. They either have an evergreen clause or they have a time certain ending. If it doesn't have an evergreen, the severance will also apply at the end. Okay. And both the Texas City Management Association I'm a member of and the International City County Management Association have model agreements that are used widely. So it's so common that there are standard agreements that are out there available. And our agreement here was the Texas City Management Association's model agreement with about half of the benefits cut out of it because they were more than this city should be paying. And I would agree with that as well.
All right. So item 8.4, we have motion, we have a second, and it's time to vote. So all those in favor say aye.
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 Against?
Aye.
Aye.
This item failed. Okay, adjournment is at 7:42. Thanks for coming.